Is there anything in your life that needs correcting so that you can enter the presence of God? That's one of the most important questions that we can ask ourselves. What lack I yet? That's what we want to look at this morning. Before we get into the lesson, I want to add my welcome to everyone that's here. We have a beautiful day outside. That sunshine sure looks nice this time of the year. It's good to see everyone out with their desire to worship our Heavenly Father. From listening to the announcements, we have a lot to be praying for this week and seeing how we can help out. Let's look again in Matthew chapter 19 and look at the context of this verse. Matthew chapter 19, beginning at verse 16. Now, behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." And he said to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Here we have a very human, a very touching story. A young man came to Jesus asking what he must do to have eternal life. And again, this is one of the most serious questions that there is, and all of us should ask ourselves this. What must I do to have eternal life? And notice, this young man is to be commended for giving this question serious thought. A lot of people in the world today won't think a thing about that. He is further to be commended for going to Jesus for this question, because Jesus is the only one who is going to have the right answer for us, the right authority, and we would do well to follow the example of this young man. When we want to know what's lacking in our life, we need to go to Jesus. We need to go to His Word. And Jesus has all power. He has all authority. And He is the one that will give us the correct answer. We can't afford to risk our souls by going to some man to ask him this question. So this young man was still under the old law. So Jesus asked him, and he went back under the old law to ask these questions or to give an answer. Jesus had not died. The church had not been established. The gospel plan of salvation had not been given. The law of Moses was still in force at the time. So the Lord told him to keep the commandments of the law under which he was living. And just as a side note, as I was going through this lesson, it struck me, I never thought about this before, because people want to do everything except what Jesus tells them to do to be saved. And so many times we hear people, they go back to the thief on the cross. Well, I want to do what the thief on the cross did. I want to be saved like the thief on the cross. Well, if you want to go back and pick somebody before the church was established, why not go back and pick this young man and do what Jesus told him? Sell everything you have and give to the poor. People don't like that answer. A lot of people don't like whatever the answer is Jesus tells them. But instead of doing what Jesus told him to do, this young man went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So many times we seem to want the Word of God. We want to know what Jesus has to say about something until it is specifically applied to me. And then I don't want to hear it. I want to hear what he has to say for you to do and for you to do. But when it comes to me, then what do we do? Sometimes we go away sorrowful. Sometimes we do not want to know the will of God concerning us. We do not want to be told the one thing that I lack. We may be strong in many ways, but woefully lacking in one thing. And friend, that one thing may be that one thing that keeps us out of heaven. And then we'll lose our souls. Our souls will be in torment for time without end. So we want to consider some things that might be lacking in somebody's life. And several of these, I try to do sermons suited to everybody, but I try to do several points suited to specific people in attendance. And since we have been having a one man come and visit regularly, several of these points were directed toward him, but he's not here this morning. But these points apply to everybody. But the first one, some lack baptism. You know, so many people believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and their Savior. Some people are willing to say, I'll turn from my sins, I'll confess Jesus, I'll confess His holy name before men. But then they hesitate. They don't want to be buried in baptism. There are so many passages that teach us about the necessity of baptism. Romans chapter 6, 3 and 5, Colossians 2, 12, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Mark 16, 15, 16. And this is what the Lord commands that we do, what we must do to be saved from our old sins. But instead of receiving the good and joyful news about that, what do? They go away sorrowful. They are not willing to humble themselves into the Lord's requirement. Some people will say, well, yeah, I know you've got to be baptized. And I was baptized. I was baptized years ago when I was a member of this church. Well, is that church going to save you? Were you saved with the right baptism? Is the baptism that you did in that church, did that have the right authority? When you were baptized in that church, which church were you added to? Which church did the Lord add you to? You cannot be baptized in the Baptist church and the Lord add you to His church. The Lord purchased His church with His blood. If we want to be added to His church, we have to be baptized by His authority in His church. So some people don't want to be baptized at all. That's what they lack. They're really good people, but they don't want to submit to God. And then some want to use the baptism that they have had years ago, and they will not again submit to God. And what happens? They may go away. They may go away sorrowful, but they have got to see that they cannot be saved. They cannot have treasure in heaven until they are baptized with the baptism of Christ. Well, some lack singing praises to God. Some say, oh yeah, I was baptized in this church, and this is the church I go to, and you ought to go there. They have this really nice piano. We've got drum sets up front. We've got all kinds of instruments. It's the most beautiful music you ever hear. But the worship lacks singing. Some do not want to give up their instrumental music. Why not go to Jesus for this question? You know, this rich young man, and again, he was commended. He went to Jesus for the answer to see, what must I do? What do I lack? And Jesus told him. Well, what does Jesus say about mechanical music? He doesn't. He talks about vocal music. Vocal music. 1 Corinthians 14:15, Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16. He does not want us to play, he wants us to sing. That's how we teach and admonish one another. Many people will not go to a place. They even ask the question, they don't understand the music of the Bible, and they will say, "Do you have music where you go?" The answer is yes. We have the music that God authorized. What are they looking for? They're looking for mechanical music. They're looking for entertainment. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for entertainment, something that sounds nice. They can go, they can feel good, sounds beautiful, and they soothe their conscience and they go. But friends, that's not going to get us into heaven. What's something else that some might lack? Some might lack assembling with the saints. The Lord wants us to meet with the brethren. He has set specific times. The first day of the week is one of those times when we are to come together to worship Him collectively, to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord, to exhort and encourage each other to serve Him more. And friend, however many times we can assemble, He does not want us to miss a single time. We should not want to miss a single time. Sometimes we are prevented from coming every time, but we should always want to assemble with the saints. Again, some people lack this. They lack this desire. They just don't desire to assemble every time the church assembles. And you stop and think about this. Again, I think it comes back to they don't understand what the Lord's church is. They look at it just as a social group or a place to meet people for business reasons. I've seen that sometimes where someone, and I know of different people that have joined a church just to make business connections in town. That's not what the church is about. We are on our way to heaven. We want to get there. We want to take as many people with us as we can. We come together to build each other up, to help us defend ourselves against Satan when we go out in the world. We're a family. We love everybody. And when we have that love for everybody, why would we not want to come? We come here to worship our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father that sent His Son to die for sins that we committed. And then some people say, "I can't make it." What they're saying is, some people are saying, "I don't want to make it. I'm busy. My family came to town. There's a ball game going on. They've got a sale going on over here. Oh, it's a beautiful day to play golf. It's a beautiful day to go hunting, to go fishing." They'll come up with 101 excuses. Friends, some people are lacking assembling. And if we don't have that desire to come together, we aren't going to have that desire to be with God in heaven. I don't understand why people don't understand that. It's not, and I don't understand how they think they can do as little as possible here and that God is going to reward them. Jesus said to put the kingdom first, Matthew 6:33. We should all desire to assemble every time that we can. Well, what's something else that we might lack? Something else that might be keeping us from entering heaven? It might be lacking a worthy job. And what do I mean by that? Well, you think about the time that we spend working, the time we spend on our job. And some people will engage in a business that, to say the least, is questionable. We might say it's shady. It might not be above board. You have that. And we just need what I'm the point I'm getting at with this is we need to examine our job, our vocation, and see if it is something that it is hindering us from serving God. We may be involved in a business that is a stumbling block to somebody else. There may be some activity or some association with some other company that's involved in something that's sinful. We work for a company that's associated with this company. That might be a stumbling block to somebody. Should we keep doing that? That's something we ought to seriously think about. We might work for a company. We might have a really worldly boss that likes to do a lot of drinking and socializing. And I've mentioned before, I worked for a company years ago. I was a manager, and the company was very big in entertaining people, and they would want people, and I never did it, but they wanted managers to take their salespeople out, their vendors out, wine and dine them, give them plenty of alcohol and liquor. That's what they considered the American way. That's how you get more business. Do you want a job like that? You know, we shouldn't fit in as Christians with that. You might have a company that's got a really good boss, a really good moral company, but they want you to travel all the time. They want you to be out of town. You're going to be going here. You're going to be going there. You aren't going to be able to assemble with saints. You aren't going to meet your obligations to your home congregation. If you have a family, you aren't going to be able to meet your obligations raising your children, your obligations husband and wife. You might have a job. It's a good company, but they want to own you. They want you to work for them 24 hours a day. And if you don't answer that phone, if you don't jump, you know, there's a problem. There's an issue. And sometimes it's hard for us to know what to do in those situations. And I heard someone say years ago, especially with their children, we shouldn't tell them when you grow up, go to school and get this job or this one or this one or get these high-paying jobs with all these good benefits. The person said, we should teach our young people to pray to God that God gives you a job where you can serve Him best. And when we have a job where we can serve God best, we have peace of mind, we can sleep at night, God's going to take care of all of our needs, and we can have heaven to look forward to. What's more important, your job or heaven? And I tell you, a lot of people, they pick their job. They pick their job. Is it hard? Is it hard to tell if I'm one of those people that are thinking about that and I think, well, I've got my priorities in the right place? You know, an easy way to tell if you have children is to look at your children and see which direction they're going in, because they will start and use the same reasoning that we do for certain things. So we need to ask ourselves, is our job worthy? Some people lack a worthy job. Some people lack studying the Bible. You know, some people, they love, as we use the term, to go to church. They love to come together to be with everybody, but they never crack open their Bible. They don't know what God says. At the very most, well, they like to listen to somebody else read from it. Sometimes they will read from it, but they don't really open their Bible and study from it. And study, to me, I find is one of the most enjoyable things to learn more of God's will. And I was thinking on this point too. You know, I met David 5 years ago, and it's hard to believe it's 5 years, and we met at a preacher training school in Tennessee, and we had a lot of study to do, and there were four of us staying in a house that one of the members put us up in, and I would give out and go to bed at midnight, and everybody else would still be up studying because we had so much homework. But one of the things I thought was always interesting, because in class, I like when people ask questions. I like when you ask me a question I don't know the answer to, because you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go home and study, because if you ask me the question, somebody else is going to ask me too at some point. And I don't want to know what somebody else says. I want to know from my study what the Bible says. But the teacher, somebody would raise their hand and they'd have a question, and he'd call on them and he'd say, "That's a good question. Go home tonight and write a paper on it, study it and write a paper on it, and then come back and report to us in the morning." And that cut down some of the questions, but I thought it was interesting because he was also getting across to us, I can tell you the answer, but we need to study on our own to know what God says about a matter. So what keeps us from studying? Again, there are so many things going on in the world. It's easy to do this, that, and the other, and I meant to study today. I just didn't have enough time. Well, we had enough time to do whatever we wanted to. And again, when I say study the Bible, I'm not just talking about reading the Bible. We need to invest time and energy in it, and we need to have some good tools to help us study. A good Bible dictionary, a good concordance. Maps are helpful. To know where this is, we need some study tools to help us explain things. If I picked up a book that was written in French or Spanish and translated and I came across words, I might be totally off because I didn't go back to the original to understand it. We need to study God's Word. Do you think we can know too much of God's Word? That's the way. I've never heard anybody say they were afraid of that, but that's what some people manifest. It's like they want to see how little they can open their Bible. Well, some people, what might keep them out of heaven is a lack of giving as they ought to. Again, they come, they've been baptized, they come, they worship, they sing, they study their Bible, they pray, but they just don't give as they ought to. See, they'll reach in and pull out something and throw it in the plate. They don't plan. They don't purpose. Some might think, yeah, when you know I've got all of these bills now, when I retire, I'll have more money and time, and I can do that then. Whatever the distraction is, Satan might be telling you, you know, you need to save more for a rainy day. You need to save more for an emergency. You know, you aren't putting enough in your IRA. You can put this much in. You aren't maxing out your 401k. Put more money in that. And the question comes down, who do we trust in to provide for ourselves? Do we trust in ourselves, or do we trust in God? And if we trust in God, He's going to provide for us everything that we need. Not everything that we want, but He's going to provide for us everything that we need. And sometimes the more things you have, the more problems it causes, and the more of a distraction it becomes from serving God, and we don't give as we ought to. And why do we give? Is it just something, again, to cross off the list? No, it's to further the kingdom. And what is the work of the kingdom? It's to spread the gospel. The more we give, the more we can spread the gospel. If we had more money, we could. It comes down to the individual. It comes down to the individual. But we can reach out. And God's people have always had a treasury. And there's always been work to do, and that work to do has been funded by the treasury. We don't have a treasury just because we have a building and we need to do repairs. We do need to do repairs, but that's not the purpose of a treasury. We don't have a treasury to see how much money we can build up in a church bank account. That's not the purpose of a treasury. We have a treasury to do the Lord's work, to preach and teach and share the gospel, to evangelize. Are we giving as we ought to? Or are we, as Malachi warned the people, are we giving God our leftovers? That might be something that some of us lack. Well, some of us might lack love for the brethren. Again, we might do all of these other things, but then occasionally we gossip and backbite and talk about this brother and that sister, and we say things to other people that we wouldn't say to their faces. Do we love them as we ought to? You know, you stop and think. Jesus came and died on the cross for each one of us. None of us deserved it. And how much do we love our brother and our sister? How much do we love them? Do we have brotherly love here? I'd say this congregation is really good at brotherly love. And I would say, I'll step out on a limb. I'll say, if anybody here needed anything, needed to talk to anybody, needed anything, we have brotherly love that would cover that. I'm confident of that. So what do? We just studied Hebrews chapter 13 recently. What does that say? Let brotherly love continue. I would say that as a whole. Now, individually, I don't know the hearts of everybody here. And again, brotherly love may be something that somebody is lacking in. Some lack friendship with God. They lack friendship with God. Who are they friends with? The world. They don't want a preacher. You know, there used to be a list of things to, we just lumped it under worldliness. I don't think I've preached many, if any, sermons on that. When I was growing up, I would hear them, you know, on drinking, dancing, different sins of that nature, sins that involved young people. But then we've all grown up, and does that mean all of those worldly enticements have gone away? No. It's still a temptation to be a friend of the world. And if we are a friend of the world, then we are an enemy of God. If we are engaging our time in the activities of the world, how much time are we engaging in the kingdom of heaven? James 4:4, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? So again, this young man came to Jesus, came to the right source, came with a good heart, wanted to know what he must do to have eternal life. Jesus told him the answer, and how did he respond? He went away sorrowfully because he did not want to do what Jesus told him specifically to do. So again, what might some of us be lacking? It might be baptism. It might be the right type of worship, where we like to worship with instruments instead of singing praises to God. We might lack coming together to assemble with the saints. We might have the wrong type of job and it's hindering our walk for the Lord. We might lack studying the Bible. We might lack giving as we ought to. We might lack having the proper love for brethren. We might lack friendship with God. So that's the lesson, except for the last point. That's thinking of everybody else. We have to ask ourselves, what do I still lack? What do I still need? What what do I lack that might be keeping me out of heaven? You know, we don't like to change, and change often meets with resistance. But we have everything that we need to change. We have God's Word. He's told us what to do. We have a willing heart. If we love God, we are going to want to change. We have the help of the Holy Spirit. We have help. Somebody says, I don't know if I can be a Christian. You make the commitment and the determination to do that, and here's a building full of people that will help you with that. It's not something you do on your own. We have help from one another. Are you afraid of having to give up something in this world and losing something? Friends, is what you're afraid of giving up something that is really that valuable? Is it something that is going to keep you out of heaven? If you give up something and you think about people, there have been a lot of Christians that have left jobs, they've left families, they've left where they lived. I was talking to one person that lived in the southern part of Ohio. He was an older man, and he told me he left town because of someone else with the same name and the reputation. And he couldn't be a Christian down there because everybody was thinking that he was connected with this other person. He made a sacrifice and got out of town. People give up a lot of things. There's nothing that you give up that God is not going to reward and bless you abundantly. And you think about Paul and everything that he gave up. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. When he became a Christian, just think what his family thought of him. He was a turncoat. He was a traitor. The Jews thought he was a traitor. The Jews followed him around from town to town, wanting to put him to death. But what did he gain? He gained eternal life. He gained eternal life. What do I lack? Friend, what do you lack? Friend, whatever it is that you lack, take care of it today. Don't put it off. We have no guarantee of tomorrow. When Bill called me yesterday and told me about his brother, that's just a reminder. We have no guarantee we're going to live to the end of the day. Friends, don't put it off. Whatever you lack, take care of it today. Take care of it right now as we stand and sing.
Hear the sweet voice.